There's no one higher in our mind, in our culture, there's no one higher than our government. And if the government does it, says it's fine, unless they get caught by some other law that they didn't get changed in time to do what they want to do, they're fine. Here is a pagan king, the ruler of the land, and he is afraid of being guilty. Before who? Before God. Five things that I think I would need to do, or you would need to do, putting it all together, is we are living in situations where we're tempted to, like Isaac, to go the way of the world to, for pride, self-preservation, or love. But if we did these things right here, if we feared God, if we feared God, if we had a fear of God, not like I'm afraid God's going to come beat me up, but the fact is that God is the judge, that there is that image of that curse to Zachary, I'm not sure what it does for you, but the image of that curse, I mean, so many times in my own life, I will do something or say something, and it's like, well, okay, it all worked out, good, and go my way. You didn't notice it, no one noticed it, it's like, or I said something I should have said, no one sees it, okay, I just keep going. But the thing is, there is this God who has saved me, but is still holding me accountable, and there is the principle of the curse that comes against sin, and a fear of God would just, I mean, just it would do it in our nation if we had a fear of God. I mean, that's the danger of pulling God out of everything. It's like, well, there's no one to judge. If you don't judge, if you don't catch me, there's no one to catch me. Wrong. God sees everything. A fear of God would be important in your life, in my life. Two, a trust in God. Because God is not the big guy out there trying to crush me. He's the guy who came and paid for my sin to save me. He says, I love you more than you love yourself. I'm more concerned with your future than you are. Because if you were concerned with your future, you wouldn't be sinning. God is more concerned about me than I am. So the answer there would be, trust Him. Trust God. Fear God. But He provides the answer, so trust Him. The next, then, humble yourself before God. When your ways and your thoughts want to rise up, I'm trusting God on this. I'm going to go with God. This is what we see guys like Moses and David and Abraham doing. Genesis, when Abraham was told, count the stars if you can. It says, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. It says, Abraham believed God. He trusted God. He goes, that don't make sense to me. But I will humble myself before you. I will trust you. I'll trust your opinion over mine. Humble himself before God. Very important now. Once you fear God, you trust God, you have humbled yourself before God, it is now time, that's what we do here, it is now time to learn about God. Well, what is He doing? What are His ways? You say, I've humbled myself before God. Well, you should now fill in the blank. What is He doing? What does He want? Learn God's ways. And I read to you today, He says, put away these things. Stop doing these things and start living this way. This is learning of God. And then, of course, there, now you take your notes, you walk out, okay, I learned of God. The fifth thing, then, of course, is living like God. Because now we've learned, don't be deceitful. Don't get in situations where you're in self-preservation and lie to get yourself out of the situation. You just walked into the curse. You just walked out of God's plan. God's plan was not for you to get into the situation and then lie about it to get back in God's plan. That wasn't His plan. That wasn't His will. So don't do that. You've learned that. Now when you get in situations, you can follow God's ways and live in God's ways. So fear God, trust God, humble yourself before God, learn about God, and live in God's ways. Back to Genesis 26. We read this right here, chapter 26, verse 7. Isaac's gone down. He's got the promise. He's been called. He knows what he should do. He's being obedient, but he doesn't trust God, hasn't humbled himself in the sense of he's still in self-preservation. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister, because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca, because she is beautiful. Verse 8. When Isaac had been there a long time, living in that state of deception, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from his window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebecca, clearly not his sister. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and says, she's really your wife. Why did you say she was my sister? Isaac answered, because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. I was deceitful because I was in self-preservation. And notice right here. Then Abimelech said, what is this you have done? One of the men might as well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. Who's he afraid of? Who's Abimelech afraid of? I mean, he's the king. He can say, so what? It doesn't matter. We were deceived. But he is afraid of what? He's afraid of God. He's afraid of a principle bigger than him and Isaac. You almost caused us to cross a line and do something immoral. He says, then what would have happened? We would have been guilty. Do you hear what I just said? The king of the Philistines was afraid that he and his people would be guilty. When is the last time you thought someone in our government had done it and they felt they were guilty? If they can justify it, if they can provoke it, if they don't get caught, it's fine. There's no one higher in our mind, in our culture, there's no one higher than our government. And if the government does it and says it's fine, unless they get caught by some other law that they get changed in time to do what they want to do, they're fine. Here is a pagan king, the ruler of the land, and he is afraid of being guilty. Before who? Before God.